Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Ask a PI Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald, PI, author, motivational speaker, and international radio talk show host.
Hello, hello, hello. Good, happy, and wonderful Monday. This is our second Ask the PI of 2015. Dave and I are just elated with all the commentary that we've received, all of the emails, and some really tough and amazing questions we've received from around the world. So thank you, and keep those emails coming in. As you can hear in my voice, I am a little raspy. Chloe was generous enough to give me a nice little head cold, and it's that time of year where the kids get sick, and then they give it to the parents, and the parents give it back, and then they give it back, and the parents are stuck with it. So tag on it, and the head cold will remain for probably a few more days, but it is what it is. And, you know, I'm really, really dying to know, my friend David, who is bugging you?
I love it. I think it's a great topic, and I want to welcome everybody to tonight's show. And like you said, you know, I am also very, you know, proud and humbled by all our listeners that do take the time to listen to our program. And you know, I think that we've had some pretty good shows, and I know that we're going to start getting into some real technical stuff, and. And in some upcoming shows, we're going to have some great guests. I mean, I've been speaking with some people that I think our listeners are really going to enjoy. And but tonight, I think it's important that we do this show because you don't know who is bugging you or if there is anybody bugging you. You know, it's just amazing, you know, over the past 30 years, how technology and equipment has moved forward by leaps and bounds. It really has. And nothing is as simple or as secure as it once was. I mean, every corporate executive knows that. You know, you used to be able to make a phone call with limited concerns about wiretapping or anybody listening in on your phone line. And, you know, if anybody in the past did pick up, you know, an extension phone while you were on it, you could hear the phone being picked up because you could hear the click. You know, and it was quite simple, you know. But not today, you know. With everything we have today, wiretapping and bugging, if you will, because that's what it's called in the industry, is very simple. I mean, It's being done more often than what people think. And we're going to give you ways of detecting or maybe having some type of suspicion that maybe you might have a problem with your phone or being bugged in your own home or in your office. And it does happen, like I said, and more often than not. And, you know, I just want to say, please, we're not here to make anybody paranoid. I want to get that straight right from the beginning. All we're doing is giving you some information. And the information we're giving you are, you know, it's just to help you live your daily lives without fear of any interruptions. You know, and that's why we're here. And, you know, another thing, too, Rusty, I know you said it last week. During the show, if anybody, you know, has any questions at all or has any comments, please feel free to call in at the call-in number of 347-850-8812, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have throughout the show. And if you don't get a chance to call in and you still want to, you know, ask a question, you can always email me at David, D-A-V-I-D, at Standa, STANDA.com, and you can ask any question that you'd like. But getting back to this, you know, this bugging or eavesdropping, if you will, like I said, today the potential is really there. You know, a wife in the midst of a divorce could speak to a lawyer in her home without a second thought, you know, never worried about anybody ever listening in on a phone call. But today, due to the equipment that's available, somebody could be listening. An ex-husband could be eavesdropping in on your conversation. However, you know, privacy is no longer sacred. Bugs and wiretapping equipment are easy to obtain and to install. And they really are. You can go online and on the internet, and they're being sold everywhere. And most private moments could be video recorded for all to see. Your conversations could be recorded. Even your corporate secrets could be exposed and out in the open. And so what do? You know? I mean, as people in businessmen alike, you know, they're being increasingly aware of the growing problem regarding personal and professional privacy. Therefore, bug sweeps and other counter-surveillance measures have risen in popularity and usefulness. It really has. With wiretaps and other eavesdropping equipment becoming easier to find and cheaper to buy, counter-surveillance is becoming more and more mainstream. And, you know, it might not be so where you live, but, you know, we are an international show. And because a lot of this, you know, pertains to these large corporations or the CEOs in all the corporation offices in some of the larger cities. But yet, we also have some of these problems. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I get a request to do a bug sweep in a residence. I get quite a few requests a year. I have done several of them, and I use equipment that is, you know, this equipment is used by technicians who are trained in this type of investigations. And it's called TSCM, which stands for Technical Surveillance Countermeasures. And they are technicians. I mean, if it's something that I cannot handle, I can do small offices. I have the equipment to do small offices and do sweeps in those offices. I have the equipment that can detect a hidden camera. I have the equipment that can detect a microphone, a hidden microphone. But some of the more sophisticated equipment to do large offices, I usually go out and I have an individual who has everything you can dream of. It's amazing when he shows up with his, it isn't a briefcase, this thing's like a suitcase, and he has all this equipment that can detect anything that doesn't belong. And it works. This stuff works. And so, it isn't this James Bond stuff. It's the real deal. And it's out there. So I'm going to give you some ideas of how you can tell whether or not you might have a problem. You know, if any of the following warning signs apply to you and you are concerned about covert eavesdropping or wiretapping, then it would be wise to contact a professional private investigator for advice on what you should do. Never mind what you can do, but what you should do. You know, and the first thing, you know, are you a potential target? If eavesdropping or anything else you say, write, or do could increase someone else's wealth or influence, then the answer is yes, you are a potential target. If others know your confidential business or professional trade secrets, you got a problem. You really do. This is the most obvious indication of covert eavesdropping activities. Theft of confidential information in a multi-billion dollar underground industry is a multi-million dollar underground industry in the United States. Often the loss of your secrets will show up in a very subtle way, so you should always trust your instinct in this matter. When your competitors, associates, and coworkers know things that are obviously private, or the media finds out about things they should not, then it is reasonable to suspect technical eavesdropping or bugging has occurred within your facility. Now, obviously, we're talking about a corporation. Secret meetings and bids seem to be less than secret. Again, this is for a corporation. Confidential meetings and bids are very popular targets for corporate spies. Everybody wants the edge. Everybody wants to know what the other corporation is doing. You know, we've got a big growth going on here in the Seacoast. I mean, if you don't think so, take a ride. You know, drive through Pease, the old Pease Air Force Base. I mean, they're building, constantly building, more and more corporations are moving in there. Well, and as these corporations move in, you know, there's more problems with each and every one of them that are going in there, potential problems. And, you know, the competition always wants to know what their competitors are doing. And the way they find out is they hire somebody to go in and place these bugs, if you will, or these eavesdropping gadgets all about the building. And sometimes it's even being done when the building is being built while they're doing the wiring. You know, I've got a client, I mean, you talk about eavesdropping, I mean, he is paranoid, and he has such a large facility that everywhere you look, there are overt cameras. Okay, you can see them. But as many overt cameras that you can see, he also has installed covert cameras, and he's got them everywhere. And these covert cameras come in all shapes and sizes. I mean, he's got cameras inside of exit signs. He's got them inside of motion detectors that are on the walls and the corners. He's got them in sprinkler systems. I mean, it's just amazing where he has placed these cameras. I got to tell you, in the state of New Hampshire, we cannot record anybody's conversation because New Hampshire is a two-party consent state. So therefore, if anybody records anything that anybody says without the other person's permission, it's illegal. And now, that isn't to say that it's not being done. I'm just telling you that it's illegal. And, you know, there has been an individual who got into a lot of trouble that has done business as a private investigator because he was going through a domestic situation and he decided that he was going to install a recording device on his phone, his home phone. Well, he did do that, and somehow his significant other found out. She found the equipment. She did not say that he could put the equipment, install the equipment in. So therefore, that was not a two-party consent. So this individual, needless to say, got into a lot of trouble with the law because he broke the law by recording her conversations. Now, he should have known better because he was a private investigator in the state. But whatever reason and whatever gave him the, you know, or thought that he had the right to do that, he quickly learned that just because he's a private investigator doesn't give him the right to record anybody's conversation, including his wife's. So that's a word to the wise. You know, if you think, you know, you're going to listen in on people's conversations and it's legal and you're going to use it and give it to an attorney, forget about it. You're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. And, you know, that's the same reason why when you call even 911 or you call a police department, even their business line, the first thing they tell you, you're being recorded. So you have an option right at that moment when they tell you that you're being recorded, that you can either continue your conversation or you can say thank you and hang up.
I just want to echo and interrupt because I've interrupted you in 17 whole minutes,
time.
David. I'm a good girl. I've been very good tonight. Thank God for the cold, right? But one of the things that I would highly emphasize with those of you who feel compelled to videotape or record or whatever, make sure that you send a certified letter or some form of legal notice to whomever you're going to video or audio record. And this way it'll save you a whole heck of a lot of aggravation when you do finally end up in court for whatever reason it is, especially here in the state of New Hampshire, because they've already been notified. So there it is. It's done. Right?
Yeah. Well, if you're
protecting
on surveillance
yourself.
and you're doing surveillance and you're grabbing video, you know, like I said before, you know, we always plug the audio portion of our video so that nothing can be recorded as far as audio. But obviously, if you're on surveillance for an insurance company, you don't have to notify anybody other than the police department that you're in the area, and that's a courtesy. But, you know, like I was saying before, if people seem to know your activities when they shouldn't, you may have a problem. If you notice strange sounds or volume changes on your phone lines, I've checked several phones for bugs. I do have the equipment to check for phone bugs, and it's a lot of the eavesdropping equipment that goes on a phone line. They don't even have to enter your home because they can put that equipment in the phone company's box outside, which is attached to your home. And
so, David, let me ask a question, a real quick question, because the majority of our country, the majority of society is now, you know, having a rotary phone or a phone that's connected to the wall. It's almost, I mean, that's like the 1% club. Everybody uses their cell phones for both work and personal. And if they want a physical phone in their house that's outside of their cell phone, it's usually some VoIP application over the internet, like Skype or something along those lines. So,
Not necessarily when you get into the rural areas of New Hampshire, though. I have both. I have a hard line. I have a hard line here. I know there's a hard line in Milton. I know most people have hard lines in Milton. Yes, people use their cell phones. But they always have a backup of a hotline. And, you know, and as we travel throughout the state of New Hampshire, you'll find that most people around here, they'll back up their cell phones with a hotline. And
I'm not arguing New Hampshire, and I'm not arguing rural areas. What I'm stating is the majority of the world is no longer in that rural precipice where, you know, you have to have a backup as such. So how do you actually, is it even possible to wiretap a cell phone or a voice-based phone system?
Yes.
That's really what I'm driving at. The majority of the world's really going that way.
Yes, and we'll get into that too as we go into this. But yeah, you could wiretap anything, because remember these are radio frequencies that go out, and as we discuss this, you'll see that you'll be able to tell. Well, that there's telltale signs that will give you, and don't just take one of them. You got to take several of them. But there's signs that maybe something may be happening with your, even with your cell phone, and you'd be surprised how you can tell if something is going on. I mean, it's really paying attention, but it's really so simple, and that's why I chose this topic tonight, because I think it's important for people to know about. You don't have to have a hotline for your phone to be bugged, believe me. And years ago, we used to get a warrant, and we used to use a Bobcat scanner, and we were able to grab people's telephones and their conversations. I mean, yes, we had a PIN register. And the PIN register would register every phone call that was going out of that particular residence. And that was a hard line. But today, they have the same type, but it's used for these cell phones. And they can pick up the same type of information, who you're calling, and they can listen to the calls. And it's on a cell phone. So it happens, and it happens all the time. I mean, the police and the government, I mean, Mike and back, the government, they're probably the biggest ones that tape illegally than any other, you know, any other person or any other organization in the country. And they grab everything. You know, they're watching us, we're looking up on the internet. I mean, all these different websites, they're tied into them. And they want
everywhere that you turn. I mean, even, you know, I have to renew my passport because I travel overseas, and they now have chips in them. My driver's license has a chip in it. And there is a movement in Congress to try to pass a law where they're going to mandatorily chip every single individual in the country.
Well, that's because of 9/11.
I'm going, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Yeah,
no, and
crazy.
And the terrorists.
No, I'm good.
And, you know, and there's nothing
first.
We can do about it. You know, I just
know,
soon be safe. You know, I just soon be safe. If they're going to do it anyway, so I mean, it's already on its way. Before long, they're going to know every place you're at. Maybe even before you get there. But yeah, it's being done. Okay, but what I'm saying is, If private investigators and what we can do for you, if you think that you have a problem, that somebody's listening in on your stuff. I mean, I had a case up here just north of us in a rural town where a woman, and it had to do with a will, a probate will situation, and she swore to God that her phone was tapped, and that her house was bugged, and that they had cameras and everything else in her house, because she said that people knew everywhere that she was going to go before she even got there. She said when she got to places, she would see the same vehicles, and she was really, really afraid for her safety. And we went in, and we swept the entire house. We didn't find a thing. There wasn't any evidence of anything. But yet, was it a coincidence? I don't know. You know, they say there's no coincidences. I have no idea if it was a coincidence or not. But we did go in and sweep that house. And I even called in a technician, you know, a technical surveillance countermeasure technician, which is TSCM technician. And he also went in and did it. Now, and believe me, it costs a lot of money to do something like this. It really does. This is something that is out of the extraordinary. This is not your run-of-the-mill PI stuff. This is all technical, and it costs some dough to have it done. And, you know, I'm not going to be telling anybody it doesn't, because it does. And they sign a contract, by the way, prior to you going in there and doing any type of work at all. And also they sign a release because sometimes you might have to tear up something to find out if something's there. Again, you know, it goes with the territory. It goes with the service that you're providing. And, you know, if just for instance, you know, you were talking about your cell phones. Well, if you notice a static popping or scratching on your phone lines, on your cell phone lines, you might have a problem. Because, again, these are radio waves. They go into a cell tower. Now, between when you're making that phone call and where these signals are going out to the tower, can they be captured? Of course they can. If that tower can capture it, and it is, because that's how you're making your call, somebody can capture it in between if they have the right equipment. So, but there are, like I said, there are signs that if you pay attention to them, you might want to consult with somebody and tell them what's going on. And what I would consult with is a licensed private investigator who is knowledgeable in this stuff, in bugging and counter surveillance and eavesdropping, because he's the one that's going to be able to tell you whether you should worry or you should not worry, or whether you should get somebody or call somebody and make a report because you might be a potential target that somebody is listening in on your cell phone conversations. But that's how you do the cell phones, by the way. And that's how you can tell if anything is going on. That is one of the telltale signs. You know, if you got a hard line, the same thing. If your handset, you know, if you got humming in it, and if you can still hear noise when you hang that handset up, you might have a problem on that line. And that's for hard lines. Because the device that's installed, it has to shut down when the conversation or the phone is hung up. And sometimes there's a delay in doing that, and that's the reason why you can still hear sounds from the handset. If your phone rings several times and there's nobody there, or if you hear a faint tone on your phone, or you got a high-pitched squeal, or if you got a beeping, then you might have a problem. And again, you'd probably want to reach out to somebody and say, I think that there's something going on with my phone. And that goes for cell phones, too, this one here, this last one that I just said. I noticed that we're getting pretty near the witching hour. Is this time for a... commercial?
It is. I was getting ready to interrupt you. Your crystal ball's working tonight, David. I'm so impressed. I've had that weird thing on my cell phone before several times, but I'm just scratching my head going, you know what? I don't lead that exciting of a life, so if you really want to eavesdrop on me, you know, you couldn't even get a chapter of a book out of it. I'm just not exciting of a person. However... Watergate, you would have been a gift to the whole Watergate scandal, I'm telling you, David. So we're going to go off to commercial, and we'll see you on the other side.
Ask a PI is looking for sponsors. Are you ready to become part of a world-renowned show? Do you offer products for private investigators? Are you a law firm? Or are you yourself a PI? Ask a PI Talk Radio is the perfect place to sponsor to hit your target audience. Please go to wmexradio.com for more information on how to sponsor Ask a PI.
In a world where businesses are plagued by overwhelming numbers of difficulties, one support network will rise to protect business owners from devastation. Dreams Woven Support Network. Under the guidance of the experts at Dreams Woven, business owners will be able to stay focused and stay motivated as they work their way toward their dreams. To run a business is to fight in a battle against a fleet of hardships that threatens to bring the business toward failure. To win that battle, one must have the adequate resources and a plan to combat the seemingly endless barrage of hardships. With the power of the Dreams Woven Support Network, obtaining the resources and plan for the battle of business is simple by using the multitude of tips and resources provided by Dreams Woven. One will be able to vanquish any hardships that arise and bring one's business to success. $8.97 is all it takes to acquire the power of Dreams Woven. Sign up today at DreamsWovenSupportNetwork.org to achieve success for your business and to have your dream woven into reality.
January 2015. In Pride and Prejudice, A Relocation Nightmare is based on a mother's true story of her attempts to relocate home to her family after a messy divorce, only to be discriminated against and forced to live without her support. Order your copy today. www.rustymcdonald.com.
Lord, David, that just actually reminds me about all of our books that we have out there. Do you know that I'm in 5 books this year? I've written 2 myself, and I'm co-author of 3.
Congratulations, Rusty.
Yeah, well, congratulations. It's crazy. When it rains, it pours. And you have Uniforms and another version of Uniforms coming out. So tell us a little bit about Uniforms, because I love the book. I'm one of your biggest fans. So.
Thank you, Rusty. You know, any chance I can talk about Uniforms, I do, you know. And the biggest thing, you know, Uniform catches the mood of an era. It's the history of the Vietnam War through the eyes of a Marine combat veteran, me. Okay, in 1969 and 1970. You know, it's advertised as, you know, from parochial school, which I attended, to the jungles of Vietnam, and it recounts all my experiences in uniforms. I wore a lot of uniforms throughout my first 20 years of life, 21 years of life, really. And, you know, because I went to parochial school. I was very fortunate enough to be in a drum and bugle corps. I was a bugle player. I happened to be one of the soloists in the drum corps for 10 years. And it tells about my experiences while in the drum corps and everywhere that we traveled, how we even played for JFK's inauguration in Washington, D.C., which was a great, great honor for us. And, you know, how we went to the World's Fairs, New York, and the Expo in Montreal, and all the other different places that we traveled to. And then the talks about my joining the Marine Corps and then going over to Vietnam and serving 2 tours of duty as a combat veteran. And, you know, I never talked about what happened in Vietnam. I never talked about going to Vietnam. I used to joke about different things about Vietnam, but I never talked about it because it was just not done. But I was able to write about it, and it was great therapy for me. It really was. It was something that I had to do sooner or later, and I did it. And then the book goes on to tell what happens when I came back home and how I was treated and the welcome that I received when I got back home, which was none. I was greeted by war demonstrators. I was spit on, and I was called a baby killer. But anyway, it's a great book. It's a great read. I have some great accolades from people who have read the book, and I've just been honored and thrilled that some of the people who have purchased my book. I've had the Commandant of the Marine Corps and the Master Sergeant of the Marine Corps who have requested a copy. I even had the President of the United States ask for a copy of the book. So it's thrilling for me to think about where it's gone. And
I think that reading the book myself and interviewing you on my other radio show a couple of years ago, I think what is really lovely about the book is, and lovely about you as an individual, and I want everybody to listen and really buy the book, get your hands on it. It's a great tribute to the tough stuff that our soldiers have to go through. And I'm very, very, very much in love with the American soldier, but I can only imagine that that would be echoed in other countries as soldiers, because it's a tough life to be a soldier, much less to be in that depth of war, and then come back to a country that's very confused and in discontent about what is transpiring, and trying to start your life over again with the horror stories that you remember from where you've been. So there's this whole transitional period, and I think you humbly describe it in a way that even somebody in eighth or ninth grade could really relate to, in the sense of it's so sweet and so innocent the way you write it. Yes, you've got some tough words, some cocka words in there, but not in a way that would be inappropriate to the context of the book. So I'm a huge advocate for it. I cannot wait for the second one to come out. What's the second one going to be?
Well, the second book, I've already started it.
I know.
And it's called Uniforms, the State Police Years. And it's going to be just what it says. But I am, the first two chapters, I'm going to be talking about, right? I've written about what happened when I got home, because the first book ends right when I got back from Vietnam, and it ends right when I landed in Boston to come home. But I'm going to tell my readers what happened once I got back home, how I was treated here at home. And I'm going to discuss things, I am discussing things about the myths of the Vietnam War, because people do not understand what happened at the end of the Vietnam War, but I'm going to tell them what happened.
And it was very confusing, because there was so much misinformation on various levels, and what I love about your book is, and I love about you, is that you're to the point. You don't draw straws. You don't soften things up. You just get to the point and downright and busy. And I'm so looking forward to the next book. So I can't stress that enough. But you have about 19 minutes left, David, to talk about who's bugging you.
That's what we're going to get into. We talked about the different things, but there's so many telltale signs that you can. That we can go through and tell you, about the noises coming from your TV, your FM radio, your car radio. If you see a difference in any of the signals that are coming through, you might have a problem. If you've got people showing up at your door to do some work in your house, especially technical people, saying they're from the phone company or they're from the cable company or any of those, and you didn't call them, follow them around, see what they're doing. Make sure they're not installing something that you don't want to have in your house, because that's very important. Rusty, you mentioned something that I'm just going to say, that you live a dull life and anybody wants to bug you or do whatever. I know that, in your domestic situation that you're in, there are reasons. People do have reasons that if they wanted to get information on you, they could utilize it. But people don't do that. They do. And that's what I'm going to get into here. Who gets bugged? Where's the threat? Obviously, businesses. If your company has stocks, which are, public, and they're trading, or they will be trading soon, trust me, you could really have a problem, especially if somebody can get an edge on a stock. And that, of course, obviously is against the law. If your company is having labor problems or union activities, or union negotiations, we've got some strong unions out there, and some of them will go to any length to know what the company and, you know, what the CEOs and what the bosses are doing. So they're at risk. If your company has layoffs coming up, they're pending, again, you're at risk. If your company is involved in the fashion industry, automotive, advertisement, or marketing industry, you're at risk because if somebody can get an edge on you and what you're doing. Spouses, we mentioned this. They bug each other on a regular basis. I gave you an example of what a PI did, which was ridiculous. Parents bug children, and that's a fact. Is it illegal to bug your child? Yeah, it is. You can't do it. You can't. If you want to do it, you know, and you got another purpose, and you confront them with it, make sure you have all your marbles together. Make sure everything's in the same basket, because depending on the age of your child, it could come back to bite you. Scientists, and we do have scientists, by the way, right around here. All your pharmaceutical companies, they have several scientists working for them. And there's another one, you know, the pharmaceuticals. I mean, I work for pharmaceutical companies. We do terminations. And I'm sure that when they come out with a list of who's going to be terminated, I'm sure that these people who have had jobs and they don't know that they're going to be getting laid off or terminated, they would like to get the edge on that. So don't think that it's out of the question that they might not have somebody try to find that information out. And they'll pay big money for this. Students bug professors in colleges. You know, some of these students, you know, they they're tenacious. They'll go to any length, even to get some of the tests, especially the finals. And, you know, if you get into any of these classes that, like technical classes, my God, you know, I keep getting these brain cramps because you interrupt me when you do, but that's okay. Like any engineer's class, well, these engineers, they are scientists, believe me. I have a son that's an engineer, and the things that he comes up with and builds, it's amazing. It really is. When I was in the state police, I was in charge of a certain group of individuals that the state wanted to know what these individuals were doing at the colleges in the state. And it was my job to keep tabs on them. Now, I didn't bug them, but when I got my top secret clearance from the FBI, the FBI told me that, look, you know, you got to pay particular attention that because of your top secret clearance and the information that you know, make sure that you don't have any strangers popping up around your house and trying to get information from either your phones or any information about you and your family. And they meant it. And every time I left the country, if I went somewhere on a seminar, or if I went to Canada, I had to notify the FBI that I was leaving the country and when I was coming back and what my business was. And because they were afraid that somebody might approach me to get some type of secret or secrets that I probably knew, and they wanted to make sure that I was being taken care of and that I was protected. So, you know, attorneys bug other attorneys. Don't think they don't. And clients. I worked for a guy while I was in the state police. Why he did this, I have no idea. But everybody he called into his office, he tape recorded. And he didn't tell anybody. But we knew this. It was well known. He didn't think we knew it, but we did. And he would turn that tape recorder on when you walked in the office, and whatever he talked to you about, he would record the conversation, and he wouldn't tell you. This was a cop. He was a lieutenant, but he did it. That's in my book, by the way. There's going to be a lot more of that, but that's okay. Insurance companies. How many times do you talk to an insurance company about an accident? Do they tell you that they're recording that conversation? 90% of the time they are. Now, they're supposed to tell you they're going to record it. So if they tell you they're recording it, that, you know, they are fulfilling the requirements of the law. But if they record it and they didn't tell you they recorded it, and then they use it either against you or against your claim, you can go after them civilly because they broke the law. So as you can see, anybody can be a target of this snooping, bugging, eavesdropping, whatever you want to call it. Salespeople bug clients. Collection agencies, there's a big one. You know, I mean, you get these phone calls from a collection agency. And because, you know, last week we gave the numbers out, or was it the week before, we gave the numbers out, you know, to stop those phone calls. You know, hopefully people took that number and plugged that into their cell phones and into their hotlines or any phone that they have so that they can stop those calls from happening. These collection agencies can really be a hard sell, and they threaten you. They haven't got the right to threaten anybody, and they don't. You know, they're bullies. And whoever is training them, all right, someday down the road, somebody's going to get to one of these people, and they're going to be sued. And when they do, it's going to be great. Because I don't go along with that at all.
I have to pull you back on that one just because there was a time a bazillion years ago, because I'm really that old, believe it or not. My birthday's coming up, and I'm just going, boy, I'm hitting that whole million-mile marker. But there was a time long, long time ago that I actually worked or attempted to work for a collection agency, and I am honest to a fault. If I try to lie to you, I turn beet red. I would fail any kind of, you know, spy test ever. I would never pass to be a spy. I suck at the whole lying thing. But they literally, your managers in these positions, in these collection agent positions, at least from my experience, I can only talk about my experience. That's my disclaimer. They literally threaten you if you don't threaten the person on the phone. And you literally have 7 days to meet a quota. It was ridiculous. I could not, like, I was pregnant, and there were 3 other women that were pregnant, and they were screaming at us because we were pregnant and no good to them in the collections department. And it was just, it was a nightmare. It was such a passive-aggressive, horrible position to be in. So I actually feel sorry for people who work in collection agencies because they have it worse than the debt that I owe, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you just solidified what I just said. So, you know, I mean, you work there, and I know what they do. I mean, so it isn't right. It isn't right at all. As you can see, anybody, you know, your neighbor, your coworkers, your friends, your enemies, strangers, your spouse, industry spies, government agencies, your insurance companies, your boss, anybody could be a person, you know, who would want to have somebody bugged. And we're all at threat at one point or another. You know, we just have some people have more, it's a higher probability than others. You know, if someone close to you or if you been involved in any type of litigation or lawsuit, you know, you could be bugged. You've been questioned, arrested, or arraigned by the police. Look, I was a police officer, you know, and I've been into a lot of police stations. And especially now because of what's going on and all the negative publicity the police have, you know, received, which I don't think is fair. But that's, we're not going to talk about that because we're not here for that. But, you know, I know that they have cameras. Everybody knows they have cameras, and they have audio. So it's being, technically, it is being, you know, it's bugged. You're being eavesdropped. And I think it's right. I think they should, because of what's happening today. So that's something, to me, that is positive that is going on. If you're in the process of getting married, divorced, or separated, any one of those three items could potentially be eavesdropped on, just to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're running for any type of office, especially if you have a lot of people running against you. You know, you're a potential target. You're an elected official. You're a mayor, a selectman, a school principal, anything like that. You know,
an
you're a potential target. You're
it's
a redhead. Yeah, walking
you're
around.
An
yeah.
redhead who's written a book to, you know, really challenge our lawmakers. And, yeah, trust me, that you can be a target just for walking into Target, ironically. But
well, I mean,
I have to pull the horns on you there, David, the reins, because we've got about 6 minutes left, and this is a tough subject, and this is a scary subject, because, you know, we are, especially my generation, you know, we read Big Brother, we read Wrinkle in Time, we read all, you know, we were the Catcher in the Rye generation. And I love those books. They're great books. However, as time has moved forward and moved on, I mean, even with this Paris incident, I sat there to tears because I have so many friends in Paris. And that's one country that I never imagined would be harmed again, because they tend to be very neutral. And the fact of the matter is, the world is a change in place, and it's changing into this very white or very dark space, and we don't know what's going on, and fear seems to be running through the veins of everyone. It doesn't matter if you're in Constantinople or Arizona. You know, we have this very fear-driven situation now that, I don't know if it was kept in secret. You can tell me better than I would know, but it's very open, and people are really running scared. So these things are real. And what do we do to actually protect ourselves and not live in that fear?
Well, I don't think anybody has to live in fear. I just think you have to be aware. You know, okay. Nobody's going to stop living. It's the same thing, you know, like they said when 9/11 hit, you know, and I mean, the terrorists, they did their job. They terrorized us, and that's what terrorists are supposed to do.
Still,
you know, instill fear into the public, and they did. And so they terrorized us. But if we were to stop living our life, then they really won. And it's the same thing here. You don't stop living. You just keep going. The thing is, as you're going through your daily routine of living life, and you're doing whether you're going to work every day and everything, be cognizant of what is going on around you. You know, pay attention. I mean, it's just common sense. It really is. Don't think that it can't happen to you, because every time, you know, we coin that phrase, it does happen to us. So don't think that it can't.
Well, in my southern demeanor, I always say, you know, never call the devil to the door. And in the southern world, that is basically saying, don't say it's not going to happen to you, because as soon as you call the devil to the door, he's going to knock.
Yep.
So, you know, but definitely, you know, I appreciate the fact that you're saying be cognizant, but there is a fine line. And what would you suggest our viewers or our listeners to have that fine line? Because we've had some pretty interesting emails come in that are, you know, situations that are pretty intense. So what would you say, what would be the top three things in your world or in your advice that would alleviate some of the fear but also allow the discretion that's necessary to live but be proactive if you feel that someone's bugging you?
Well, everybody knows what they do, okay? I mean, let's face facts. You know how you live. You know what you do for work. If you're a technical person and you feel that you have information that should be private, and however that private information is getting out somehow, then you want to talk to somebody. That's all. You know, you're not saying that it's happening, but you want to tell somebody that you may have a problem. Whether it be with your cell phone or whether it may be in your home, or maybe somebody came to do some work in your home, and because of the person coming in, all of a sudden your conversations and or where you go and what you're doing every day is not private anymore. Well, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out, you know, that, geez, maybe, just maybe, I should talk to somebody about this because it's not right. It doesn't appear to be right. Remember, you know, is it all coincidence? Some people say there's no coincidences in life. You know, things happen for a reason. Well, I'm saying the same thing. You know, if things are happening to you which are inexplicable and that you can't figure out why, and those, and there's things that should be protected or they should be private, then you should talk to someone. You should reach out to a professional. And my first advice would reach out to a professional private investigator. Tell him what's going on. Be honest with him. He's not going to want to know your secrets, trust me. But he's going to want to know what's happening. And if it's happening too often, then potentially you could have a problem. And I know one thing, that if I was in that situation, I would definitely reach out and get a sweep done of my residence, of my workplace, of my workstation, whatever the case may be, of my vehicle, as soon as I can. Well, I mean, like I said, we do have equipment that can detect whether or not a pinhole camera has been installed or not. It will detect that pinhole camera. And a pinhole camera is exactly what it means. You can't detect this thing because, you know, if you have especially a drop ceiling or a textured ceiling and there's a pinhole in it, you'd have no idea. You really wouldn't.
We are down to, David, I apologize. I have to be the bad guy. I think that's why you hired me for this position. We have about 30 seconds left. So is there anything last second that you would like to offer? And then we need to wrap up for next week.
Yeah, the only thing I would like to say is, like, you know, is just be cognizant of what's going on around you. You know, remember, it's your life. It's your life, so make sure you live it and live it the way you want to. You know, and if you have some private things and you want to keep them private, then make sure they stay that way without any interruption whatsoever. I want to thank everybody for listening to our show tonight. And again, if you have any questions about what we talked about or if you have any comments, we would love to hear them. And, you know, you can, again, email us by david@standard.com. You can go on Ask a PI, and you can leave us a message or do anything you like. We'll get it. And
until next Monday night, because we have about 15 seconds left, I want to thank everybody again. David, you're the best mentor a person could ever have, so I'm grateful to you, and I'm looking forward to next week's show. We have to roll.
Thank you very much.
So in love and light, Ask a PI is out. Have a good night.
Talk Radio with hosts David Duchesneau, author, PI, former Marine, and former New Hampshire State Trooper, and Rusty McDonald.